Welcome back. We continue our study, developing Great Commission skills. We're turning our thoughts in this session as we continue looking at skill three, setting objectives and establishing accountability. We're looking at calendar commitments, how to leverage the calendar in a way that helps us accomplish what we need to accomplish. We're going to assign calendar targets to our Great Commission objectives and make those targets non-negotiable commitments. And as we do that, we're going to move ourselves more and more toward the place that we're trying to get to. All right, now, think of it this way. Deadlines are your friends. Deadlines are your friends. You need to adopt an attitude that is grateful for the friendship of deadlines, because deadlines will determine whether or not your Great Commission objective is reached. If you don't have a deadline, anything goes. Open-ended allows things to drift, to float. And we've already talked about how loose things can be in terms of timeliness within the ministry of the church. Now, another advantage of having a set deadline is that when you reach that particular deadline, you know whether you have completed that particular task or not, whether you have reached that objective or not. So having a deadline builds accountability into your efforts, and that is a good thing. Now, there is a book that I think is particularly helpful, and that book has to do with time. It's called The Time Cleanse, and it's written by a gentleman named Stephen Griffith. And Griffith talks about what he calls the ROT. Now, he derives that from the common business jargon of ROI, which stands for return on investment. But what he's shooting for here is your ROT, the return on time, the return on the usage of your time. He writes this: how, when, and with whom you reinvest your time is the key to reaching the goals you are committed to having. Just as you want to invest your money for the highest return, you want to be thinking about your time from that same investment perspective of getting the highest return on time. I love that phrase, return on time. And time is an investment. One thing that we need to note is that time is a resource that cannot be replenished. Once it comes by, it's gone. You'll never see it again. So remember this. Remember this. Deadlines are your friends. Procrastination is your enemy. Now, procrastination is widespread throughout all humanity in virtually any endeavor. You know the old maxim, and don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Well, that's like a proverb. It makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of truth in it. But the way that many people live is just the reverse. Don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow. You know, that can be very destructive to making progress. The fact that we're busy, that we tend to engage in a given assignment at the last minute, we don't get to things early on in the time that we have. We find ourselves very often having these last minute flurries of activity to hit a deadline. Well, by the use of calendar commitments, what we're going to do is artificially create last minutes, because last minutes tend to be motivational, tend to be catalytic in helping us get things done. Now, when we get to skill four, we're going to talk quite a bit about managing ministry time. So we'll be taking a very deep dive into time management, and that is not my intention here. But we are addressing some very specific things here about how to use the calendar to commit to deadlines that will help us get the job done. Now, when we think about procrastination issues, there are a couple of things that I want to call to your attention. First of all, there is the time it takes versus the time that you have. The time it takes to do a particular job versus the time you have to do that particular job. And then there is a contribution I want to look at from Giant Worldwide, a leadership development organization. It's called the Five Gears. And we're going to take a look at both of these. So for starters, we're going to turn to this idea of the time it takes versus the time you have. Now, here's how this works. Back in 1955, a publication called The Economist published an essay by a gentleman named Cyril Northcote Parkinson that included this phrase. It said this: Work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. Now, this has come to be known as Parkinson's Law. Now, here's how it works. People rarely reach completion of any assignment, any project, any task in advance of a deadline. People are busy, so they tend to work on matters that are exerting pressure. And one of the greatest producers of pressure is the deadline. Now, if the deadline is significantly far off, we're not feeling any pressure, we're not working on that particular job, that task, whatever it is. But the closer we get to that deadline, the more the pressure builds until finally we rise to the occasion, we push at the last minute, we respond to pressure, and we get it done. Now, this dynamic offers the basis of Parkinson's Law as it's being driven by the law of procrastination. Now, that law is just a simple observation that people tend to procrastinate every chance they get, even if they don't want to. Just the natural human tendency is to put things off until they absolutely can't be put off any longer. Now, let's think of an example. Let's say that a given assignment has a deadline of completion of 6 weeks from the time that the assignment is made. Now, giving the benefit of the doubt, let's say that this deadline is going to be met. 6 weeks from now, when that deadline arrives, this assignment will be completed, but not a minute sooner. Right on time, but not a minute sooner. Well, question, does that mean that 6 weeks are actually required to complete this assignment? No. It would be incredibly rare if there was some assignment we had received that we had to work out feverishly every day from now until 6 weeks from now to complete the task. In that stretch of 6 weeks, we're going to use some time to complete this task. The question is, which time are we going to use? More than likely, what we're going to do is wait to the last minute and push to get it done. Well, in practice then, what we want to do is use deadline pressure to our advantage by removing dead time from the equation. Okay, so let's think about this further. Let's think about it this way. Let's say that over that 6 weeks period of time, I'm going to need to devote 15 actual hours to the completion of this task. So the question becomes, which 15 hours am I going to use? Am I going to use the very last 15 hours? Back to back to back? Straight up to make the deadline? Well, of course, that wouldn't be very wise. But since I only need 15 hours out of 6 weeks, I'm not feeling any pressure right now to get that task done. So chances are, I'm going to let it drift. I'm going to let it drift. Other things are going to interfere. I'm going to keep pushing it a little bit further away, a little bit further away, and I'm going to be thinking to myself, I've got plenty of time. I've got 6 weeks to get this done, and I only need 15 hours. But what tends to happen, you see, is all of a sudden, this sneaks up on us. And now we've only got 3 days left of the 6 weeks. If we're talking about 8-hour work days, we're talking about 24 hours, and 15 of them have to be spent on this one project. You see how this works? The closer and closer and closer we get to the deadline, and the more we have pushed the deadline off, or pushed working on the task off, the more the pressure mounts. Lo and behold, we're at the last minute scrambling to get things done. We leave the task hanging over our heads for extended periods of time, and then all of a sudden, the deadline sneaks up on us. We're in trouble. We're pushing. We're under high pressure to get the job done. We're probably going to get it done just because that's the way we work. We always get it done, but what level of quality are we going to give to this work if we're jamming it all up at the very last minute? Now, here's another quote for you. I like to share this. It comes from a book called First Books for Business series. The topic is supervising and managing people. So take a look at this. The Power of Deadlines is how this little article is titled. Deadlines can be one of the most effective supervisory and management tools in your arsenal. A well-chosen and steadily enforced deadline is a great way to help your people prioritize, increase motivation and productivity, and eliminate downtime. A series of deadlines percolating throughout the organization can also improve overall coordination and cooperation. By getting the most from deadlines requires two important supervisory and management disciplines. Number one, setting fair deadlines. Number two, enforcing them. You know, setting deadlines might play into this idea of establishing objectives. Enforcing them plays into our idea of establishing accountability. Fair deadlines with accountability gets the job done without being under intense pressure. Now, Giant Worldwide describes itself as a global media and content development company specializing in leader transformation. I went through a rather intense year of training with Giant that involved 24 training sessions, two per month over 12 months, along with lots of reading and assignments in between. But I found it to be extremely valuable. It really helped me develop as a leader, and it has helped me in my development of other leaders. Well, one of the things that Giant has produced is a concept that it calls the five gears. The five gears, it's in a book form, and you know you can get a hold of that book. The subtitle of the book is How to Be Present and Productive when there is never enough time. Now, that idea of never enough time, you know, that's one of those emotional, sentimental statements. The truth is, there's plenty of time. We just don't use the time very well. So it seems like there's never enough time. But let me walk you through these five gears that are the substance of this concept by Giant Worldwide. Gear number one, recharge mode. Now, in recharge mode, this is to do with personally being recharged. We're completely unplugged. We're not distracted. We're in a state of restfulness, a state of being at peace, calm, taking a break from the flurry of activity that often accompanies our professional lives as well as our personal lives. Gear number two, connect mode. This mode has to do with being present with your family, with your friends, without work. So we're socializing with those who are close to us, and we're not engaged in professional pursuits. Then there is gear three, social mode, where we are present with people in general, whether it's people with whom we work or some other context. But the tent pegs are loose, and we could easily move back down toward gear two or up toward gear four. Now, gear four is called task mode, and task mode is where we spend most of our work hours. Task mode. It's characterized by multitasking and working hard, but in multiple ways at the same time. Stay tuned. We're going to say more about multitasking in a moment. And then there is focus mode, gear number five. Focus mode is task-centered, but we're fully focused on one particular priority, and we're moving very quickly. This is a time of intensity where we're doing perhaps our highest level of work because it's intent, we're focused, and we're zeroed in on one significantly high priority. Now, as it relates to our discussion about setting objectives and establishing accountability, the gears that we're mostly concerned with are gears four and five, because these are the gears that we would be mostly engaged in when we are involved in our ministry pursuits. Giant studies indicate that most people spend most of their time and energy in gear number four, where we're juggling a lot of balls at one time. We're trying to multitask. We've got three or four projects that we're part of the way through. We're dealing with interruptions. We're dealing with phone calls. We're dealing with voicemail. We're dealing with email. Does that sound familiar, like a typical work day? Well, I think so. Well, that's understandable. But here's the thing. When we're working on everything at once, there's a sense in which we're working on nothing in a focused, efficient, and effective way. Now, I told you I was going to say a little bit more about multitasking. But actually, I'm going to allow Gary Keller to say a little bit more about multitasking. This comes from Keller's book, which is called The One Thing, The Surprisingly Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. He says this. He says, people can actually do two or more things at once, but like computers, what we can't do is focus on two things at once. Our attention is bouncing back and forth, back and forth. This is not where we want to be. Focused attention is the key to making significant progress. As long as we are engaged in multitasking, wading through day after day of juggling all the balls in the air with a split focus, we tend to lag behind. Now, we might rise to the occasion to meet certain deadlines. We can push to get out there, but we're compromising quality because we've got too many things going on and we're not focused. So let me get back to this idea of the 15 hours that might be needed to complete that task that you've been given 6 weeks to complete. You know, if we're trying to dabble with that as one of many things we're working on while we're multitasking, the quality of our effort is not going to be very good. And if we apply 15 unfocused hours to that particular assignment, chances are our product, our outcome is not going to be very good. What we need to do is have 15 highly focused hours. Or maybe we could even accomplish this in, say, 12 highly focused hours. So the question is, how do we find a way to put more Gear 5 time into our day? Well, how do we turn things around? Well, we have clear Great Commission objectives. We hold ourselves accountable, and we use the calendar. We use commitments to the calendar to be catalytic in moving us forward. You see, if something is going to take us 15 hours, but we've got 6 weeks to do it, why not schedule that 2 or 3 hours of focused time at a time, spread over several weeks? That way, the quality of our work would be at a very high level, and we would be able to complete that task not under pressure and finish by deadline or even before deadline. Because what? We leveraged calendar commitments to better measure our time. Gear 5. We've got to find a way to have less Gear 4 time in our lives and more Gear 5 times in our lives so that we can complete tasks on time at very high quality. Now, that completes our video that's dealing with this skill topic of calendar commitments. Next time, we are going to be looking at the skill topic, checkpoints and partners, as we continue our study of establishing of Great Commission objectives and establishing accountability. So I pray that God is going to bless your efforts on His behalf, that you will be able to find some of that Gear 5 time over the next few days or few weeks, so that you can begin to experiment with what it feels like, what it looks like, what you can accomplish with focused mode time. God bless you. Amen.